the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Our Lady of Victory morning show, Paleocrat edition, with yours truly and Jeremiah Bannister, the Paleocrat.
Yeah.
Jesus is King. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yes, for now and forever.
Now and forever.
Now and forever. Yeah,
this is English.
English.
Yeah, this is the Novus Ordo edition, everybody. Yeah, we thought it'd be kind of fun to just start in right away where it wasn't even, it was just totally unambiguous what was going on. It would be like, what? I don't hear Tim. That's because Tim is sick.
No. We duct taped him, actually.
Yeah, we talked to him a little bit and so made sure that everything was good for today. He contacted us yesterday, told us that he came down with something pretty wicked and said, you know, can you guys do this? He was even writing it out in cough talk, right? Mm-hmm. In text and everything, cough hack. But he was sick. And so, we told him, we said we could take care of it. We'd take care of business. And so we didn't want to let you down. We wanted to make sure that all the good folks here at the Meaning of Catholic, that they had their good morning show that starts out the week. Because it is a good way, isn't it, Jake, to start out the week?
Oh, it's amazing. People, I mean, look, we've got, how many people are with us right now? I can't even tell. Plenty. Plenty. Yeah. A lot of folks probably a little disappointed that our faces are slightly bigger and there's no Tim to sort of keep us grounded. But in all seriousness, no, this is an amazing way to anchor what hopefully will be a great week for everybody. You know, I don't know if you guys are working or just hanging around the house, you know, enjoying the last few weeks of summer. But we hope that you guys will pray for Tim and then enjoy what we've got prepared for you for the next 50 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh, and
it's going to be a good time. Yeah. So good morning, Josh. Take a knee for Christ the King. Of course, Light of Christ Press. Good morning as well to you.
Good morning, of course, everybody.
Andrea, I am always happy to see you. I am always happy to see you over in Italy. And so always excited about that. And then, of course, we got Peter here. Just like the ancient Catholic liturgy, old cars are better made and more reliable. unlike today, the modernists want people to buy cheap, unreliable trash.
And good morning to you too, Peter.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. And I don't know what happened to my computer. I all of a sudden went like crazy mode here. Oh, there we go.
Oh, look at you.
I was like data or something.
It was a little bête noire, I think.
Yeah, it was a little bit blue down, you know, looked kind of sad. It was like a sad.
Well, you're sad because Tim, you know, I mean, do you think he'll put us in his will? Because I don't know. I don't know if Tim's.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
Yeah. So, well, we wanted to make sure that one thing that bummed me out that we don't have, right? It's not like we've got it on the computer. This is the Tim special, and that is the calendar. Okay.
Yeah, so we do not have the home.
I know. And so I'm really bummed about that. And in fact, that kind of lets everybody know that I don't own that, which is also a bummer, by the way. Not that you know, but that I don't own it because it looks amazing. Yeah. Do you own it, Jake?
No, I don't. I just
threw you under the bus.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. I just borrow Tim's every week. I put it on the screen, like broadcast it on a projector in my living room, and I stop it right at the. See, that's why people need the morning show.
Yeah.
Who cares what we say? You just pause it on when he's scrolling through the calendar and he's like, this is this day and this is that day. You just pause it, take a screenshot, print it out, and then you're set. You're set.
And everybody's covered. Everybody's got it then. Yeah. But I do have the Saint Maker. And this has been one of those things where, I've been doing this for a while with the Saint Maker, and it was awesome by myself. But in the last 2 weeks, we've decided as a family to begin doing it. I got to actually reach out to the good folks over there to find out if there's any kind of thing we can do, even if it's kind of just an additional booklet or something that you could buy. Mm-hmm. It would simply give you extra pages or something, you know.
An insert or something like that.
Yeah,
so
like
a second person could use it.
Yeah, and that way, because otherwise, I mean, it's... it's made for one, right? It's made for one person.
Yes.
And so we're really writing like in the margins, like, oh, you got a bunch of kids, you know? And so, but we want to go out and we want to say what the different days are. So I've got every month begins with a calendar. And so you got the calendar and it has the feasts that are in the old liturgical calendar as well as the new. And I don't know about the Eastern, the Bizcats. I don't know about their calendar, but I do know that at least Wednesday, the feast is overlapping. So I'm assuming that it may just, I don't know if they're using the same one. I think it's still a little different because their Christmas and Pascha will be on different days sometimes. And so it'd be a different calendar. But this week we got today is the most holy name of Mary. And let me see one thing real quick here. Okay. No. So the that's today. It's also to let people know it is my son, Wolfgang Phoenix. It is his second birthday. And so I want to say, I want to say happy birthday to my boy.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. We celebrated it yesterday. And so really excited about that. I love that dude. And so what a great day to have it on the same day as the most holy name of Mary. Tuesday, tomorrow is St. John Chrysostom. And so you've got him on Wednesday, Exaltation of the Holy Cross. That I found out, Rudemus. I'd never heard of it called that before. Rudemus.
Say it again. Oh, Rudemus, like R-O-O-D.
Yes. Yep.
Like a rood of wood.
Yeah, it says it's also called Rudemus. This day recalls the dedication of the Basilica of the Resurrection and also the True Cross. And it gives a couple things you can do with different feast days throughout the month. Not every single one, but it'll select. And here's some stuff that they say, of course, you attend Mass for the Holy Cross, place a cross in your garden. You can have it blessed. You can sing the, what is it? Vixella Regis? Regis? I don't know how you pronounce it. My Latin. I need to just avoid
ask,
that and
just
say
ask,
some
ask
Latin
Ambrose.
Word. Yeah, ask Ambrose.
Where's
my son.
Ambrose?
Yeah, they would know. Athen and Ambrose. They know. They correct me all the time.
I think it's Vexilla Regis.
Yeah, Vexilla Regis. Okay. Isn't that what I started with? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm pretty good. It's intuitive for me. I just need to stick with my gut. That's what it is, I think. Yeah. So you can cook with basil and tell the story of St. Helena's finding of the True Cross. And so there's different things you can do. And then there's...
Why basil? Does it say why that particular spice or herb?
No. No, but
maybe
it's just...
Basil. Maybe he really liked that, and they decided to name it after him.
Yeah, he's named it. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. I have no idea. But then they've got on Thursday, that is, of course, the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so you can do a number of things, including bring flowers to a Marian shrine, read St. Alphonsus Liguori's Discourse 9 of the Dolors of Mary, pray the Little Crown of the Blessed Virgin or the Litany of Loreto, and you can pray the Chaplet of the Seven Sorrows. So actually, that's one of the things that we're doing in our house as a family. We have the chaplet. We actually bought one of those. Really?
Oh, nice.
I always love that. Do you have any like different, like I, other than just the traditional rosary, do you have other?
We've got the, I think it's the Chaplet of St. Michael, but we don't really pray that very much. We stick with the main, just your standard Catholic prayers, rosary and all that.
Yeah. I have the little flower chaplet. That's actually my favorite. And
I've been meaning to get that one. Actually, we prayed that one night on the Wolfpack. We did a little Telegram live action, and that was really beautiful. And I have not forgot about that. But I had been remiss in purchasing one and having it blessed. So thank you for that reminder. A very public reminder, actually. Probably could have waited, but fair enough. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's one of these things where it's like, you know, I ended up getting mine from a lady who goes to our church. She's my Ambrose's godmother and played a big role in our coming back to the faith, stuff like that. She was instrumental actually in our priest, Father Srico. He's now retired, but Father Srico doing the Latin Mass in Michigan. And so the two of us together, we petitioned. We were the main people petitioning for it. And he did it because of that. So she played a big role, but she gave me years ago a very special set of beads there for the little flower the little flower chaplet. And I love it because the simplicity of it, right? Just saying the glory mm-hmm. bees on each bead for the number of years that Saint Therese was alive. But also it makes it because then I like to do an intention for each one. So I'll say somebody's name. I'll go down the line of the names of members of my family, our friends, the people who are involved with the guild here at mm-hmm. Maine of Catholic or the Wolf Pack or whatever, and talk about and pray for each one individually. And so it doesn't take too long. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's simple. And I love it. And it makes it easy too, because I got one of these. I don't know if we can.
Oh, nice.
See it. So, yeah. You know, some people get the, I forget what they're called, the, where they get them from. Is it Rugged Rosaries? The ones that are like the army.
That's metal. One. Yeah. Yeah. That's one.
And they get that. These here, I mean, these are heavy, right? You can hear. Let's see. Hold on.
How many beads are on that? So that, 10. Are there eight? There's 10 on that?
There's 10 on this. So it's a deck right here, you know, and then I have this on here. It's actually a dog tag that my daughter wore. It says her name on it. It's got a little dog tag, and it's got, of course, the crucifix at the bottom, but I use it all the time. And so it's an easy thing too. You know, I mean, I just go through it basically 2.5 times and we're set
nice.
For it. And so that's a lot of fun, but yeah, so you can go ahead on the feast of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There are different things you can do. And then of course, Friday, St. Peter is a claver. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep.
Saint yeah, and then Saint Gorgonas on Saturday, Saint Nicholas of Tolentino, and then Sunday is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, or the 24th Sunday of Ordinary Time.
That was yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
14th. Yeah, I think coming up is.
Am I fake news in the daylight side? Yes, I am. I'm totally fake newsing that. So yeah, the 15th.
15th.
The 15th. Yeah. So yeah.
All right, and the 20th.
Thank you. Fifth, yeah. Right? The one moment I'm not looking at it, I end up in this. Look, it's a good pitch for it. I stop looking
stick
at it.
Stick with this script I that I wrote for you.
Yeah.
Just look at the Word document.
Oh, yeah. And so, but that's the week. So those are things that you can do throughout the week. If you have any traditions that your family does, make sure to go ahead and put those in the live chat, or you can put them in the comments after this is all over. And if you're a member of the Guild stream, make sure to share those things with the Guild family on Telegram or on Patreon. And of course, you can find mm-hmm. you can find that link. And we should say this more often. You can find that link to support Meaning of Catholic that for the Patreon. That's right down in the description below. And so,
yeah,
I encourage people to support this apostolate. We are, of course, we have our own, right? We have our own Patreon, but we're part of this. Right. And this is a big thing for us. And so we love being part of this, and we want to see this place grow. And so make sure if that's something that you're down with, and we hope you are. And if not, pray for us. Right. You can do that.
Oh, certainly.
You
oh, yeah. We need your prayers.
We need you.
Yeah. We need your prayers.
Especially Jake. And, Jake really does.
But I do want to add, half joking, half serious, if you don't support the Meaning of Catholic, then Tim might not be able to be on very much, and then you're just left with us. So if you like Tim,
that's a threat.
You need to support. Yeah, that's a threat. You need to support Tim. No, kidding, but seriously, he's a good man. He does a lot of good work. Got a lot of good programming on this channel, including us, but other stuff too.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to make sure everybody on Wednesday wish everyone a happy rudeness and tell them to be rude. Be rude on happy unrudeness.
Like especially to your Eastern Catholic friends, because that mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. the most sacred day of the year for them, if I remember correctly. And my boss.
I think Easter would probably still trump that, but that would be up on the.
Well, we went
because that's not.
We went to a. We went to the Orthodox. We went to the Orthodox. We went to the Ukrainian Catholic Church yesterday, and that was what they said after it was over. They said that was.
That's the holiest day of the
now,
year.
Now, that may be I don't know. Correct me. I'm going to have a bunch of.
Well, maybe he was speaking like, I know, like he did not say that.
Yeah.
No, it probably, if I had to guess, in all honesty, probably holding aside the obvious exception of the Triduum and Easter, that this would, like, throughout the liturgical calendar, that this would be, you know, something that is highly regarded. That's what I don't think any priest would say that this particular feast would trump that of the resurrection.
It's counted as one of the five major feasts, and the most important of the four feasts of the Holy Cross. So the most four of the four feasts of the Holy Cross.
There we go.
That's what. Yes. That's what I think that's what I said.
Sweet.
Yeah. Nobody go back and nobody. Nobody go back. And
Andrea. Yeah. Andrea, rewind it. Rewind it.
Don't do that. No. So, and he did say that. They did say that. That of all of the feasts of the cross, right? That is the most important one. And it's actually eight days altogether. And
there's an octave too. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And so it's an octave for it. And it's a feast for that whole octave, but the one day where they need to fast is that day, right? So that day is there's a sadness that goes with that, penitential, but that are all around it is joy and festivity and things like that. So it's a very, of all the feasts of the cross, that is supreme. And so, and it was awesome yesterday. It was awesome. There's a new priest that came in, his family from Ukraine. His family's going to be here, I guess, this week, but he's over here, and they put him here for 2 years, which is awesome because this church, as of like a year and a half, or I guess right before mask land, before all of that, that place was going down. I mean, they didn't even know if they were going to stay open. The news had written about it, that it was going to close because there were just it was nobody there. The first time we ever went was my kid's first Eastern Catholic liturgy they'd ever been to in their life, and we took a picture. We have it. His day is pretty cool, but it was just empty. I mean, nobody. It was like nobody there. There were no kids at the time. There were people who attended occasionally who had kids, but they didn't have a priest that was like planted there, you know. And they do now. Father Roman, awesome dude. And now there's a
Father
new one
Roman
at the Eastern Church.
Is the Ukrainian Catholic priest. That's legit.
Yeah.
That's
Father legit. Father Roman is the married with kids Ukrainian Catholic priest in Eastern Catholic Church.
That's a good name. Yeah, for Father any of Roman. You expecting children or having recently given birth to one, if you need a name, that's a good name.
Roman. Yeah. So,
and
well,
then if your kid's birthday was today, let's say September 12th, you could name him Roman Mary and then your last name. That's legit.
Yeah. Hey, that'd be a good one. Yeah. It'd be totally awesome. And so, so that's this week. So make sure to wish your friends the very best.
And a happy Rudemus. And with that being said, does God care what we wear? Bannister.
Yeah, man.
Why?
Yeah. Why? God cares about what we wear.
It in the gospel yesterday, he says, don't worry about what you wear.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. I think that would be in a section of this book because we're going to go through a little bit with this on the part about what it means to worry, not so much about clothes.
I'm interested.
Because somebody could make the case, don't worry about what to wear, dude. You can walk out in your skivvies, right? You could walk out in your tidy whities or in that bikini, and people would go, I don't know if that's what he meant by that. And I'd say, I know, because it's really about worrying. So it's just saying things that are important in your life. Things like clothing, things like food, things like shelter. It's about the worry of it, right? You're not going to gain anything by this. You're not going to save a single hair on your head by that. And so don't do that. God's got you covered because he covers all the animals appropriately, right? In fact, fitting for what they are. And same thing with the flowers and everything else. And it would be the same for us. So propriety in dress. And he begins by talking about the thing about
St. Francis de Sales. We're taking a little snippet.
Yeah, we're taking a little snippet. We talked about it not last time. I thought it was last time. It was actually 3 weeks ago now. So because last week we didn't have a show. And so the right here, Introduction to the Devout Life, St. Francis de Sales, and the propriety in dress. He begins with of course, the conversation about women. And he says that, and he undoubtedly includes men. So this is great. St. Paul desires Christian women, and in a parenthetical, and he undoubtedly includes men, to adorn themselves in decent apparel with modesty and sobriety. And that's in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Says, now propriety in dress and its appearances consists in material fashion, and cleanliness. As to the latter, it should be invariable. In other words, do not be a dirty scumbag, right? You need to be clean. It's what he says, it's invariable. He's like, be clean, right? And he says it also about the home in a separate place that, you know, yes, of course, you need an organized home. Your home should be orderly. It should be pleasant to walk mm-hmm. about your house. And same thing, it should be pleasant to stand next to you. If it's unpleasant to stand next to you, and I've had it, man, before. In fact, we were at Mass, and I can't throw him under the bus other than say he came in a little late and he sat in front of us, and that bugger was ripe. I mean, and it wasn't homeless. I felt badly at first. I'm like, maybe the guy, you know, doesn't have a home. No, man, guy's got a car. He's got all this stuff. I said, man, I think he maybe ran to church. No, he's driving. So I said, he just didn't shower. This guy, he just didn't shower. And I said,
God accepts us for who we are. Okay. Why are you judging? This is so, what does the sales say about that?
Yeah. He's like, don't worry about that guy. No, he's what he'd say. It's invariable. Go and you should be, you know, definitely taking care of yourself, or, you know, carry baby wipes or something. So, but he says, as far as possible, avoid all dirt or untidiness, right? Talking about your body. He's like, don't be getting all dirty and nasty, and in your home, untidiness, in your clothing, untidiness. Outward purity is, as it were, a type of that which is within.
And it's a reflection. Just that our bodies give expression to our souls. The soul, everybody knows the soul is immaterial, can't be seen and all that. But your body is the medium through which you express what's deepest within you. So when you have cleanliness about you and your home and your other your other possessions, including your car, you can't have a filthy, you know, terrible looking car. I mean, maybe if you've just gone off roading or something, but go get it washed, clean up the inside, because that's reflective of your inner disposition. Right. I think that's what he's getting at.
Yeah. And it, we all kind of know it a little, right? I mean, at least with cars, if your kids write wash me on your car, or somebody writes wash me, it says something not just about your car, right? Because your car doesn't wash itself. It's saying something about you. It's like, you aren't washing your car. Why aren't you washing this? This is obviously wicked bad. So you need to take care of that business. And I think it might be one of the reasons why so many dads, when that happens, get so angry. It's like a slight against them as dads. They're like, how dare you? You know, that's something you tell me in private. Okay. Don't blast it out to the universe. And so, yeah, of course, the idea that the way you're presenting yourself, right? We are made in a world of other thinking subjects and sensing mm-hmm. subjects, people with eyes, people with senses. So if they're around you and you look just all sorts of messed up, right? And it's over something you can control, right? So it's over something that is completely within your control. Mm-hmm. And you're, you know, so it's not some kind of facial problem or anything, like, you know, someone's born with something. It's your clothing. It's the way you're presenting yourself. And we're in a world where ultimately you are presenting yourself, right? They're going to see who you are. They're going to see what you look like coming from a ways away. It's the first thing they'll know about you, right? It's that. And so that's the first idea they have, that you are a fellow human being, is the shape of you and what you are, right? And so what you're wearing, the colors you're wearing, the face. And then when you get close enough, it'll be the facial expressions you have. It'll be the way that you present yourself physically to them. That's going to give an indication for who you are, which is why it talks about the people who go about in the marketplace, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, and their face are all and sour and stuff and looking all right. They have a certain way about them. It's not just that they're praying in the town square all the time out loud with these long prayers and everything,
right?
But it's also the way that they're presenting their faces. and the way that they're even the way they dress in public. So everybody knows that they're fasting right now. They want everybody to know rather than putting stuff on to putting oil on to actually brighten their countenance so that when right. they go in public, you would not know that that person is fasting.
So your attitude, your disposition, your appearance should be that worthy of a Christian. I mean, if you're going to claim to believe in the resurrection and the hope of everlasting life, and you're going to claim that our Lord, by his saving death on the cross, has redeemed us of our sins, then maybe you should be a little bit happy about that. Right. Yeah. If you're gonna claim that, hey, when I commit a sin, if I repent, I can simply go to confession and God will have mercy. That's something to rejoice over. Think about all the times in the Gospels when our Lord cured somebody. They didn't walk around going, thanks. Now I'm not going to be able to get as much money in the temple. Dang it. I mean, they were like jumping up and down. He said, hey, don't tell anybody I did this. Guess what just happened to me? This is the greatest day ever. And they're just exuberant with that joy over a physical healing. And we're proclaiming, Christians, Catholics in particular, are proclaiming a spiritual healing of our sins that enable us to enter the kingdom of heaven. We walk around and we're like, it's Lent. I have to fast. This is terrible. But that pleasant appearance that DeSales speaks of, dressing in a way befitting a child of God, right? You would expect princes and princesses to wear clothing befitting for their state in life. And so should we, right? Yeah. My tie is a little loose, but when I go to work, I'll snug it up because I want to present myself in a certain way. And so for the rest of the world, I'm not saying we have to walk around in suit and tie all day long. However, a nice smile on your face.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like it's a genuine joke when I say, you know, I wear a tuxedo in the shower and stuff. Like, that's not real. You know, like, there's an appropriate thing to wear wherever you are, right? So, and he actually talks, it's the next thing he talks about. He says, as to the material and fashion of clothes, propriety in these respects depends on various circumstances. So even the material, right? Which, of course, I mean, we kind of know that, right? Certain material is better. Like, wearing rayon is probably not the greatest thing in the universe for working outside. The fact that I said rayon. Do you remember rayon shirts, dude?
Yeah.
Do you own any? You own any rayon
shirts? No, I'm not admitting to that.
What about silk shirts? What about nope. Dudes wearing silk shirts? Or is that just like a dated thing? Like, that's like straight the 90s, like. You know,
or farther back, like from when you were a kid. Yeah,
it was the 90s when I was a kid. Yeah, further back. I'm a kid of the 90s.
No, I don't think I own any silk shirts. But so likewise, you wouldn't wear, like, if you could help it, you wouldn't wear a burlap sack to mass.
Right? Yeah.
And you wouldn't go to a pool party in a suit and tie. You know, it needs to be suitable for the occasion and still meeting the requirements of general modesty and those kinds of things too.
Yeah. Like, if you go to a fall social and you roll in there and you're wearing some like beautiful outfit you would wear to some kind of a royal ball or something, or, you know, if you're one of those folks, right?
You've got Cinderella's dress on.
You got Cinderella's dress on and you roll in there. You might be a little overdressed. People will like it, but they will also wonder why you did that, right? And so yes, the setting, the material, right? Some material is better for work. Some material, like Jake said, like his rayon shirts and silk shirts, would be good for very formal occasions. And it says, as well as other circumstances, including time, age, rank, those with whom you associate. Right. And it varies with different occasions. Now, we've talked about the occasions, but the idea of age, man, you know, this is one of those things too. Like, you know, people, he mentions down below, and I may as well just say it right here. I'll just read the rest of it because it's worth it. Because he talks about, of course, if you're at a wedding, you wear marriage garments. If you're at a funeral, you have the garb of mourning. Then presence of princes, we dress differently than we do at home. So right there is the Cinderella mm-hmm. versus being at home. The wife may adorn herself to please her husband. And it's lawful for maidens to desire to be pleasing in the eyes of their friends. So and that's something we can go back to in a second, right? But he says, but everyone despises old age when it would affect to adorn itself. Such trifling can be tolerated only in youth. So let's translate that. The grandma with the big leather boots up to her knees with really gaudy lipstick and like young person clothes that we see, right? That says, hey, you know, what's up, fellow young people sort of thing. That to him, there's nothing worse that nobody tolerates it. And if people can't chuckle, I don't know if he would find that funny back then, or maybe that is like a little chuckler.
No, for him. I didn't mean to laugh. Of course.
Yeah.
Not. No, but, it's not.
I mean, nowadays we all know, I mean, we've seen it. And I think that we see it a lot right now, where you have a lot of women in the West, they're, you know, in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're dressing like people did, you know, in college. And when you see it, it looks ridiculous.
It's awkward. It's awkward. It's because, again, your outward appearance is a reflection of your inner disposition. And so with age, and you know this better than I do, comes a certain aura of respect. Well, hopefully comes a certain aura of respect and maturity, maybe sort of a resignation of your place in life, a certain humility, and all these things should be expressed in the way that you carry yourself, right? If you're an 85-year-old man and you're wearing one of those question mark suits like Matthew Lesko used to on those commercials, that's just a little bit too much, right? A little bit, you know, the guy I'm talking about.
I'm imagining an old guy wearing that, you know, an old guy.
What is this, like a gimmick? Is this a hidden camera show? What's going on here? Did he forget? Yeah. Is he, there's the question mark because he doesn't know who he is or something? No, but in all seriousness, it's the theological point would be, that you, again, you're a temple of God, and your inner virtues are expressed outwardly through your body. And part of our bodies, ever since the fall of man, has been clothing, right? Not literally like a body part, but everybody knows what I mean. So if you're not dressing in a way that's glorifying the Lord and lifting up those around you in some way, then you need to rethink that. And I mean that in all honesty. Reconsider your wardrobe. If you couldn't go out and be with other Catholics in acceptable social settings without feeling a little embarrassed, right? Then maybe it's time for some new threads.
Yeah. You know, and I like that, you know, the idea of incorporating men into this, because it's just true. You know, it's one of those things where you imagine the old man and the old woman dressing in a certain way. Plus, I mean, think of what we'd lose in a way. And I know this might sound like it's making light of it, but dude, we would literally miss out on grandma clothes and grandpa clothes. Like the previous generations, I always wondered about this, you know, because it's almost like, you know, maybe younger people can relate to this, but you end up having a grandma and or a grandpa, and let's say they're getting to be a little bit older, but you remember them when they still had their brown hair, right? But they were still grandma, but she wasn't gray with as many wrinkles. But as mm-hmm. she gets older, all of a sudden something happens, and maybe you've seen somebody who's not at that age yet. They still have their brown hair. Maybe they're in their 30s and they start dressing like they're a grandma, and that bothers you too. But there's a difference where all of a sudden you're like, why are you wearing that cat sweater? Or why are you wearing that Christmas sweater like that? Or the ones with the little apples on it with the names of the kids from the family in the family tree that everybody wears that. And you're like, that's a grandma shirt, you know? But that's, to me, that shows a generation of people, though, that recognize and that have a value even in their customs that are natural, the flow, the cadence of the way that they even dress, that there is a difference between being young and getting older and being playing a role that you're now grandma. It'd be weird if the grandkid had the shirt with the wooden apple pins dangling everywhere with the names of the kids. But if grandma wears that, that's not weird.
Yeah.
That's grandma's sweater.
It's kind of cool. You're like, yeah, my name is on that shirt.
My name's on there. And they'll be like, you're right here. And you're like, oh, yeah. And kids are happy about it. But if you have a 25-year-old or 30-year-old wearing that and wearing it to school or something, that is very inappropriate. Like, it's it doesn't seem fitting for the situation, which is why the original question, does God care? You can see that most people, they would either have to think that all of these things about us that we see as unnatural or that doesn't match the setting or the scene, mm-hmm. or why would you dress this way, that that's just accidental, or it's part of God's design and it reflects something, right?
Right.
That we can look even in nature about this and say, well, you know, there's an appropriate way, right? And so it's, I think it's an interesting thing about that.
And I think this would apply, these same concepts would apply to jewelry and tattoos as well, right? I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be wrong to have a tattoo of the Sacred Heart, let's say. In fact, that would be, I think, a really great thing if somebody wanted to do that. But you wouldn't put it like right here. I think that would be, you know, maybe not as pleasing to God as you initially thought it was. There's a modesty that comes along with that. And so, you know, again, in keeping with the theme of clothing and dress and your general countenance, your appearance, you want to indicate, it's kind of a, it seems paradoxical, but, you know, to be truly humble and modest, you don't necessarily want to draw attention to yourself. Although dressing in a way that's lovely and befitting for the situation and your state in life, people will notice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's that dual dimension, if you will, of I'm not setting out to do this, but the natural result is that this will happen. Okay. And so when you're advertising yourself, let's say, through clothing that is less than flattering, and this applies to men also, especially, I should say, then you're lacking in that modesty. So what you're putting out to the world shows this person maybe needs to work on a couple of those virtues we hear about from time to time, right?
I think, so. Would you include, I know this is maybe a little bit random, but would you include in that? Because I think a lot of people, when you said, especially men, right? There's a kind of dignity that I think a guy is supposed to dress with. And yet the conversation a lot of times revolves around women, and in, for many reasons that are not unjustified, right? And so are unjustifiable. At the same time, I think that a lot of times when we think about what is inappropriate, the idea is that it's revealing, the idea that it's too tight, whereas sometimes having things that are too baggy, like, for example, pants that, and right. This is a little bit, it's a morning, so I think I can say this, plumber's crack. If a dude's got plumber's crack, would that be immodest? Like if you.
And if he's not a plumber, you mean?
If he's not a plumber.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm being serious, though. Like, if a dude perpetually, right, habitually, right, every day, dude is bending down, grabbing stuff left and right, and you're seeing that back there, that would seem to be, to me, immodest. Like, that
I would agree.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. So I would say in the case of men, it's not so much what is being worn, but how it's being worn. Like, men's clothing isn't particularly revealing, that exception, you know, granted. But, you know, is it? So when I think of that, I think of the guy who's constantly underdressed, just casual all the time, can't bring himself to put a button-up shirt on. It's like, come on, did you really wear those Adidas slides to mass today? No. I don't think that, you know what I mean? It's like, the Hawaiian shorts and the sandals are cool if you're going to the beach, but do. Yeah. This is the holy sacrifice of the mass.
Yeah.
How about the, you know, oh, I just can't bring myself to wear a, why not? Why not? You don't like looking nice? What's the matter with you? But no, I again, I think it's not the clothing itself that's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we could find issues with men's wardrobes, but it's typically, at least in my
spaghetti shirts or belly shirts.
Well, I think those have, I hope have you pretty say much belly died shirt. With. yeah. Hey, do you still have that mesh? Do you still have that mesh belly shirt from?
mesh.
Like the jersey, like you just got home from football practice.
yeah, dude. Yeah, the mesh.
But seriously,
yeah, you know what I mean.
I know it. I know it. Yeah, I had to throw mine away.
yeah.
For men who either always struggle to dress up to the occasion, or for women who think that by revealing more and more and more of themselves is actually desirable. Again, no, it's not. You need to think again. Dress in a way that's befitting your status as a child of God, right? Oh, we got some comments. What is Andrea?
So Andrea says, you should see how disrespectful Italians can be who are attending mass. Shorts, no veils, t-shirts, Snickers. Sneakers? Yeah, I'm assuming sneakers. Or it was either sneakers or knickers. I wasn't sure which one. I was going to say, if you're going against the Knickerbockers, that's a little bit offensive because those are stylish. I can imagine those there would be people that would be very upset about that. Even kilts, man. I know people now, maybe this is a little bit strange, but would there be certain people that it would be inappropriate for them to wear a kilt, whereas other people... Like I have some friends that go to the church. They are just straight up. It's cultural for them for real. Like their home, their family, they know, you know, a lot about it, and they wear nice outfits like that go together. There's like a regalia to what they're wearing.
Yeah. And I think when it's a cultural thing like that, perfectly acceptable. But for anyone who's not Scottish, again,
yeah.
Why are we doing this? In fact, if you are of Scottish descent of whatever great or small proportion, and you desire to have that regalia, good for you, and do it. But you're going to have to save up. My wife has some Scottish heritage, and I thought, well, you know, she would really like one of those skirts. They're basically floor length skirts, but they're all they're wool, and they you can have them custom made in the tartan of your clan. And so I looked up and Clan MacKinnon is her ancestry. So I looked up Clan MacKinnon, and I'm like, okay, here are her measurements, here are her sizes. And that bugger was like $400 for one.
Wow.
I know. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is like a 50th wedding anniversary kind of gift for me.
So you're not going like Hot Topic or anything, right?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I always go to Hot Topic for all my authentic Scottish cultural garb.
Can anyone even imagine Jake rolling in the mall, walking into a Hot Topic, just seeing him and knowing it's Jake and being like, oh, what, really? You're like, what? What's happening right now?
Oh, I just came in to see what all the young kids are wearing these days.
So, but it was a bunch of money though. Mm. So it's serious business, right? I mean, so for some. That would be, I think, appropriate, and for some, not. Light of Christ Press says, I'm also a child of the 90s, but I think the sagging style of showing half of one's boxer shorts is a good example of a immodest fashion. I totally agree with you, and I say that as someone who used to be into sagging. I also used to crisscross my clothes. I think that is also terribly inappropriate. Maybe for other reasons, it might not. I would still say it's immodest because you're a clown a little bit, but also the fact that you can't really crisscross without sagging a little, because pants are structured in a way that it would be very awkward, be the poofy and up front, and it would just be miserable. So yeah, crisscrossing would definitely be one of those for anyone concerned about that. If you're crisscrossing, that's inappropriate. If you are sagging your pants, that is also wildly inappropriate. There's no reason to be intentionally doing that. Mm-hmm. right? There's just, there's zero, you know, if, and you know, I've seen, it's gotten bad, man. I mean,
Yeah. It's doing nothing but repelling people who are of rational mind, because everybody looks over and they go, why is that man's underwear showing out from beneath his, oh wait, it's not showing from beneath his pants. His pants aren't even up to the level to where it would cover that. Okay. Somebody didn't finish getting dressed. That's what I used to say to my students. Some of them would walk in. You're like, hey, I noticed you didn't quite finish. What? Pull your pants up.
What do you think about this? What do you think about jeans and sneakers at mass? Go ahead. Cause we've talked about it. You have an episode with me.
I was about to say that. I gave a talk at a men's group in 2021. Maybe I forget exactly when. About how to prepare for mass. And part of that was your physical appearance. Like, you should shower if you can, and shave, dress nicely. And I think unless there are some sort of exigent circumstances, for example, if there's been an emergency and you couldn't change, or if you're one of those folks who legitimately cannot afford some slacks and a shirt, which I really doubt, because I was on Amazon the other day and dress pants are no more expensive than jeans, and often cases less. And I am 100% sure that there are thrift stores all around the country. As a matter of fact, that's where I got this.
That's so where I get
for
all my
$4.50, yeah, you could look really nice. So I'm going to go with no, you should never, ever, ever, ever wear jeans and sneakers to mass. If you do that, you're wrong, and you need to rethink it.
These are the shoes that I, well, I got a bunch of.
Those are nice.
I have a St. Bernard, right?
Those are nice.
So people,
I don't know what that has to do with the shoes, though.
Yeah. Well, because these right here, I don't know if I can get them in a good light here.
They're black and brown.
They got.
It's getting awkward.
You can kind of see. Anyway, the idea is these were like $3. I got these. They're not $3 when they're put on the shelves first time.
No,
these are $3 at like a Salvation Army. I go periodically. I'll find different shoes that are cheaper, and that's what I wear until they're just done. And so all the clothes, mm-hmm, people say, man, you know, paleocrats always wearing, you know, suits or ties or nice clothes on the show. Every single one was bought for like $2. I don't like spending money, much less spending money on clothing.
with a few exceptions.
Cheap.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, with a few exceptions, all my stuff is from the thrift store. Like, why? I'm a father. I have a bunch of kids. I need to like spend the money on them because they have to eat. Apparently, that's kind of rude. But, my my wardrobe is basically thrift store stuff, and nobody would know. Right. If anybody watches this episode, I guess they know, but you see me on my podcast, you see me at work, you're not going to know the difference because it's handsome looking stuff. Right.
Yeah. All right. My wife throws this out.
Oh, Mrs.
There.
Paleocrat. Good morning.
She throws it out there. Oh, this, I know what this is about. She doesn't like my spandex shirt and the mesh belly shirt.
She's like, oh, yeah, again.
She's like, is that appropriate, again, Jeremiah? No. So, in all honesty, Is it inappropriate for a man to wear a skin tight shirt or tight pants?
Yeah, it just says it would be the same way for a woman to do that. Right. I mean, if we're talking about like form fitting, can see the ripple of every muscle or lack thereof. Yeah, absolutely.
I think people could wear an outfit that is not skin tight and yet where it's like all the way tight on your body where you can see every single thing, but yet at the same time that is form, that it's your form, that, you know, it's not. I think there would be a difference between, like, let's say for example the slacks that are not considered tight jeans, like, because nowadays when you say tight pants, like, that's not a joke. Those buggers don't even know how to put their, I don't know how they even get their pants on. I don't know how they get their feet
butter
through you. They rub butter. Yeah, that's one of the techniques I heard. It just smothered the butter all over the legs and you somehow slip into the jeans. But I don't know how they do that. Or the shirts that are super tight, and you can wear a shirt that is what's the proper term for it? It's trim. What do they call it? I forget. There's a term for it where
it's like an athletic fit or something.
It's like a cut of a collared shirt. So it's not so baggy, like straight down, but it's almost as if it kind of tapers with your body a little bit. So that
like I think that's called athletic fit.
It might something be athletic like fit. It's not like that. Yeah. So like, but those kinds of things, I think you can wear something that's not blousy or baggy or anything like that, that would be more closer to form fitting than baggy on you. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Same thing with slacks that are straight legs slacks, or ones that back in the 60s, the dudes, the kind of pants that they wore compared to the baggier pants that men wore back in the 30s or whatever, where they were much baggier. But the 50s and 60s, or let's say the 40s and 50s, where it started getting really narrow. You've seen kind of, it came back with the Mad Men stuff years ago, where that kind of style, even the cut above the shoe and everything, so it didn't actually touch down on the shoe. That sort of thing kind of came back. I think that's fine. But the idea of wearing skin tight shirts and tight pants, as in what is going nowadays at Hot Topic as tight pants. No, I would say that's probably inappropriate. Because it would also be tight in places that would be inappropriate. There's no reason to be showing certain things.
Yeah. I hate to put a damper on this party, but here in the center of time, it is 6:02 and I got to go to work.
You got to go to work. Okay. Oh, well, that's such a sad thing. That's so sad.
I know. Well,
yeah, because there's all of these great comments. Well, look,
once we got into
you guys are great.
Do this, don't do that, then suddenly, it was a good, made for a good show.
Even Tito Joseph. Yeah, I think priests stop worrying about hurting sentiments and encourage maskers to dress modestly. I totally agree. We'll leave it at that. And we have our thing here. Let me make sure I get it up, because we want to make sure that we had the very special icon that is from the Ukraine, right? Or is it from Russia?
No, it's from so this icon was written by a Russian Catholic. It's an icon of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yes. It's an icon of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yeah.
And let me go ahead and share the screen. And if people have questions, both Jake and I are over at the Wolfpack on Telegram. That's t.me/thewolfpackchat. Okay. And also over at the guild, the MOC guild group over there. And so if you want to be part of that, if you're a member on Patreon, you, of course, and that link is in the description below. If you're a member there, then you can access that and you can ask questions. You can put the little at symbol and direct it straight to us, because we'd love to have these conversations. Yeah.
And as usual, if you cannot afford to become a member of the meaning of Catholic Guild, reach out to Tim and just contact him privately and he'll set you up.
Yes. So, all right, here we go. Go ahead and share the screen. All right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.